Neither of the two men most likely to be elected president in November has anything that could properly be described as a workable plan for addressing the coming insolvency of America's two largest entitlement programs. And this week, we got some news from those two programs, from Social Security and Medicare, that should really underscore just how foolish it is that neither leading presidential candidate has much of a plan for fixing them. Hi, I'm Eric Bain with Reason Magazine. Thanks for joining us on this edition of American Radio Journal. As I said, this week's news from the trustees that run the Social Security and Medicare programs should sound some alarm bells in Washington and within both the Trump and Biden campaigns, because quite frankly, Americans should get to know what the two men who are running for president would do and would propose to do to address what is at this point an inevitable problem, the inevitable insolvency of both Social Security and Medicare programs that millions of older Americans rely upon. That news came on Monday. It was in the form of the annual report from the officials who are charged with running those two old age entitlement programs. And that annual report confirmed once again that the clock is ticking on both of them. Social Security is expected to hit insolvency in 2035, while the portion of Medicare that pays for hospital visits and other medical care, one of the trust funds within the Medicare system, that will be insolvent by 2036. Now, a quick note on the phrasing here. Insolvency doesn't mean the same thing as bankruptcy. It doesn't mean the program completely shuts down. What it does mean when either of these programs hit insolvency, what it means is that they will only be able to pay out as much in benefits as they take in a single year in payroll taxes. And as a practical matter, that means there will be significant budgetary cuts, significant benefit cuts in both of them. And because of those mandatory cuts, the seriousness of this problem simply cannot be ignored. When Social Security hits insolvency in 2035, beneficiaries will face an automatic 21% cut in benefits. That's the current estimate from the trustees. Meanwhile, the insolvency of Medicare's Hospital Insurance Trust Fund would trigger an automatic 11% cut, and that would mean significant disruptions in healthcare services for older individuals and for many Americans with disabilities. Again, worth underlining that point. Those benefit cuts are not the result of future choices that might be made by Congress or the next presidential administration. Those are baked into the current status quo of the two programs. That is the trajectory that the two programs are currently on. Without policy changes, Social Security beneficiaries will be facing a 21% cut in just about a decade. That means you get 80 cents for every dollar that you're expecting to receive. And that's a reality that neither President Joe Biden nor former President Donald Trump seem willing to acknowledge. Both leading contenders for the White House have pledged to block any potential changes to Social Security. That is effectively a promise to keep those entitlement trains running full speed down a dead-end track. The Biden administration has most recently denounced a plan by some Republican lawmakers, by the Republican Study Committee in Congress, that would have aimed to raise the retirement age to 69. Now, that's a pretty modest change, just a two-year bump in the retirement age, and it's actually not sufficient enough to deal with the overall size of Social Security's insolvency and the long-term deficit that the program is running, though it would help. It would be a step in the right direction. Trump, meanwhile, he suggested in March that he was open to cutting and potentially making other changes to entitlement programs in an interview on CNN, but he then immediately walked back those remarks and said that he would not do that. And of course, during this year's Republican primary, the Trump campaign ran ads in multiple states targeting Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, because the two of them were at least willing to engage this question. They were at least willing to talk about the need for entitlement reform, for entitlement budgetary balancing. This, quite frankly, should be disqualifying on both sides. As I said at the top, the American people have a right to know. We deserve to know how the next president would approach this problem, a problem that will be even more apparent during the next 4 years. So we don't need perfect solutions, but the utter lack of any plan demonstrates a level of unseriousness that is quite concerning. As far as I go, as a relatively younger American, I think the best approach to Social Security would involve allowing American workers the freedom to plan for their own retirements rather than raiding their paychecks to cover benefits for retirees, who in most cases are wealthier than the workers that are funding their benefits. Workers should be allowed to opt out of Social Security, at least in part, as a part of any future changes. But of course, other things could be on the table as well. Medicare's insolvency is a bit more of a complicated problem because there's more moving parts, but it's another problem that ought to be addressed first and foremost by trying to reduce the cost of healthcare and trying to make sure that we're reserving public benefits only for the truly needy rather than raising taxes on all working Americans. Still, the insolvency is really only one part of the problem presented by these two creaking entitlement schemes. Both Social Security and Medicare are projected to run deficits every year between now and 2098. That's the end of the 75-year window, the budgetary window that the program's trustees use. And those deficits are the primary driver of the federal government's increasingly unstable fiscal situation. So even if these two programs, Social Security and Medicare, even if they weren't expected to run out of cash or hit insolvency or have any other types of serious problems in the next decade, putting them on a more stable fiscal trajectory would be important for long-term economic growth for all Americans. And refusing to fix the spending side, the benefits side of this equation likely ensures devastating tax increases that will drain wealth out of workers' pockets and sap future economic growth. Look, as I said, we don't need a perfect solution at this point, but the fact that neither Biden nor Trump have offered really any type of a plan other than sticking their heads in the sand and pretending this problem doesn't exist, well, that, at the moment, should be disqualifying, quite frankly, for both. For Reason Magazine, I'm Eric Bam. You can check out more of our coverage of Social Security, Medicare, the fiscal situation of the United States, and everything going on in politics this week at Reason.com, and catch me right back here next week on another edition of American Radio Journal.